Okay, if you guys want to get started with questions for David, if you could raise your hand and then I'll call on you so we skip the crosstalk.
Ooh, so formal, Olivia. Jeez.
Okay, Matt.
Hey, David. Good to see you. First of all, Bob gave us an update this morning on Sean Murphy. I was wondering, though, if you could share just what you know about his status and sort of the outlook for him at this point.
Yeah. I've talked to Sean a couple times. He's doing really well. Saw the doctor yesterday, and I believe was getting in the car today to head to Arizona. So he's been advised not to fly. I think it's for 4 weeks post-surgery. So he's going to drive here. We'll arrive and do intake, you know, sometime after the weekend probably. And, you know, I think Bob told you guys, we expect, you know, hopefully baseball activity around the first of the month and then getting in games midway through March. So obviously it's just one of those things that popped up. We're glad he got it taken care of, got the surgery done. And we, you know, medical staff thinks, you know, very good chance he'll be ready for opening day.
Martin?
Hey, David. Last time we talked, you had been, you know, trying to add to the bullpen, and obviously with Adam Kolarik and possibly a couple of other moves, how do you feel about the state of the bullpen now as you get into spring training?
Yeah, we did. We talked about that last time, and obviously, you know, I can't confirm anything until, you know, physicals are taken and things are official. But we, you know, we feel a lot better about the depth out there. You know, I think what I said last time was there's a lot of talented options, not necessarily a ton of experience. And you know, if we sort of finish these last couple things, obviously a couple guys with a lot of experience and. Kolarik, his success from the left side, you know, he had a great year for the Dodgers last year. And we've got a number of tough left-handed hitters in the division. We're going to see a lot this year. So we felt like adding another weapon from the left side was important.
Shayna?
Hey, David. Is there any sort of indication of how exactly Sean got the collapsed lung? And then on the other side, and you can tell me if I'm way off base here, but how important was it to sort of get a diversity of arm angles and looks in the bullpen, just because you got one side armor and potentially another side armor coming?
Yeah, so the first one, I don't want to screw up the medicine here, Shayna, but it's something that just spontaneously happens. He literally woke up. I think there was speculation that maybe he coughed really hard in his sleep. I'm going to screw it up. Bleb, B-L-E-B is the word that I was told. It's a spontaneous thing that happens. A small hole is created in your lung. It's kind of a freak thing. So glad that, you know, when Sean woke up not feeling well, he did take it upon himself to go to the ER. There was a chance to avoid surgery here. He also was advised that there's a chance of recurrence, sort of within a short period of time. And I don't think he liked the idea of just sort of being out there in the world, not knowing if this was going to happen again. So, like I said, he got the surgery done, took care of it, and only is going to send him back a few weeks. On your second question on the bullpen. Yeah. I mean, we look at all that stuff as far as different arm angles, different, you know, different velocities, ground ball versus fly ball. I mean, certainly the teams that have gone far in the playoffs the last few years have proven that if you can give your opponent a number of different looks out of the bullpen, that it has a chance to be really valuable. You know, the Rays have done that by design for a long time now. The Dodgers did it last year. So if you're looking to sort of model the two teams that made it all the way last year, it's something that we definitely consider.
Vince?
Continuing with your medical expertise, David, COVID round two, I mean, it's a more of a spring training that people are used to in terms of the amount of time compared to the summer reboot. What are your thoughts about this coming together with the way you've constructed the kind of bodies, the amount of bodies that are in camp, how you hope to use them? And what do you want to see as this kind of spring training unfolds?
It's a lot different. And I think when you guys come down here, you sort of see the pace of things, the way things move. It's not your typical spring. I mean, our guys were on the field today from, you know, from 10 to 2:30, which in a regular spring, the first day, you guys know you're out of there by noon. It just, everything takes more time the way it did last year during the season and summer camp. You've got, you know, separate stretch groups and you've got, you know, smaller groups of pitchers and only a few guys in the bullpen at a time. So I think we understand now, having gone through what we did last year, that that you just have to prepare differently. I mean, you don't build the team any differently. You don't necessarily bring more guys into camp. I mean, I think our major league camp is, you know, in the low 60s, which is what we usually are. We have the additional guys in mini camp, but we would have that anyways. And we always have a 25 to 30 man mini camp running because, you know, you need extra players for major league games. So, there's obviously just a ton of awareness of the protocols and all the things that are different than they would be in a normal year. But clearly everyone who's here and everyone who's doing it understands it's worth it to try and get started on a normal schedule. It's pervasive. It's everywhere. We're walking around with masks, we're changing schedules, we're eating food out of, you know, to-go boxes. Like you can't not think about it and see it when you're around, but ultimately, again, this is what needs to be done for us to start spring training tonight.
And one follow-up to that about Bob mentioned about the possibility of each day may be different in terms of the number of innings that a game will be played, whether it's the Dodgers or the Indians or Milwaukee, whatever the case might be. How do you view that? How do you see that coming together? How important is it to either make sure you can get 9 innings because you want X number of people to get a look at, or need to cut it back for other reasons?
Yeah, I think the way we look at it, look, the goal of spring training is always to get ready for opening day. Like how you do that probably looks different from year to year. So I think it's nice to have the flexibility of a 7-inning game, or, you know, rolling an inning after 20 pitches, whatever the case may be, because these are, you know, this is a different environment. We got a lot of pitchers coming off of a year where they had limited work. We've got guys who were limited in what they were able to do this offseason, depending on where they live. So to have that flexibility in the first couple of weeks of games, I think is important. And we'll have to, you know, get together with other teams. The managers will get together to figure out, you know, how many innings you want to play, how many pitchers you need to get into a game. We still have a lot of guys in camp who need innings, need at bats. So you don't want to cut things down significantly. But I think we'll really appreciate the flexibility of those first couple of weeks when we get a better sense of where everybody's at after 10 days or so of camp.
Matt?
A couple things. First, Frankie's situation, was that something that came up during the intake process, or was that before he had reported?
It was prior to intake.
And is the Bob made it sound like there's at least a hope that potentially he could be in camp fairly soon. As it stands right now, is the hope that you'll still have time to build him up over camp to be ready for the start?
Yeah, as we sit here today, I don't think there's any concern about him being ready for opening day.
Also, having addressed the bullpen needs a little bit now, are there other areas where you guys are still potentially looking to add to the roster as camp gets going?
Yeah, we have some conversations going still. Both, you know, some of the free agents are still out there, maybe some trade conversations. So I don't think that's atypical of this time of year, still looking to see if there are opportunities to add to the club. So, but nothing imminent. And again, I think I said the bullpen was really the priority. So we want to make sure we got that done.
Martin?
David, with Mike Fiers back in the mix and AJ Puck possibly being stretched out to a starter, do you see a possibility for a 6-man rotation? I know there's a lot of things that could play out over the next few weeks, but would you say that's a possibility?
We haven't talked about a 6-man rotation, Martin. I mean, that said, you know, there are going to be a lot of variables. I mentioned earlier, you've got guys coming off of, you know, abnormal workloads for the season, and we have to be aware of how they feel the first few times through the rotation. But a 6-man rotation is not something that we've discussed. I think we should have a good amount of experience in that group. And we're gonna, you know, we'll see what, in what way AJ can best impact the team and have the option to use him as a starter. He's pitched out of the pen before in the big leagues, obviously. But for right now, we've got 6 weeks to figure it all out.
Manolo?
Hey, David, how are you?
Good, Manolo. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too. A lot of late signings, but not only by you guys, but a lot of teams, you know, they're doing late additions this year. Could you talk a little bit of how much difficult in comparison to the past this has been for all of you general managers to put the teams together, taking in consideration all the things, the pandemic, the short season before this, et cetera?
It was a different offseason. I think there was a lot of uncertainty, going into the free agent market. I think you see a lot of the late signings made because, you know, we all kind of found out a few weeks ago that, yeah, we're actually going to start on time. I think up until, you know, MLB and the Players Association kind of got together and went back and forth with some proposals, I think in the back of everyone's mind was, we're not quite sure we're going to start on time. You know, there's always that chance. And when it became, you know, when it became more of a reality, a lot of people on both sides, I think, kind of sprung into action. So, I hesitate to talk about how difficult any of this is in the face of actually difficult. I think it was a strange, uncertain offseason. And when things did become more certain a few weeks ago, you saw a lot of free agents sign, you saw some trades being made, and everybody kind of realizing that, we should probably be ready to start on February 17th.
Yeah, one other thing, now that with the pandemic, of course, affecting the whole world, the visa situation is always a problem for all teams. And Bob was saying to us a few hours ago that Carlos Perez is still missing because of visa. Do you see this this year, you know, depending on politics of different countries, as a bigger problem than before, getting your players here in time?
I think we found some unique challenges for sure. Venezuela in particular, I think, has been difficult for players renewing passports and getting visa appointments. So that, you know, I know that's what Carlos has run into. Dionis Guerra as well is going to be late. So, it's something we deal with every year, as you know, with the politics of it and just sort of the dealing with Homeland Security on the visa issues. But so far, we don't think there's anything that's insurmountable and hope to get all those guys who are a little bit late into camp within the next, you know, week or two.
Thank you.
Janie?
Hi, David.
Hi, Jane.
Farhan was saying that some contracts now they're working to put a community clause in there. I'm trying to remember if you've done something along those lines. He said it's something that gets discussed maybe a little bit more. Maybe it depends on the player you have, whether they seem to be someone who's going to want to go and do that or contribute to your foundation or community wise. Are you seeing more of that? And is it a more of a payroll flexibility type thing? And I know you're not in the same bracket necessarily as the Giants, but are agents and players talking about those things they want in their contracts?
It's been around for a while. I will say, to my knowledge, we don't have anybody that we've done it with. We have, you know, we actually have discussed it over the last few months. And I don't know that it creates a payroll flexibility for us. It's typically, you know, it's a benefit to the player, I think, from a tax standpoint, and obviously helps the organization. I do know that actually in Elvis Andrus's contract that we inherited from the Rangers, he had a clause in there where he made a donation to the Rangers Community Fund, and Catherine and our community folks were going to reach out to him about continuing that. It is something specific we've discussed over the last couple of months. But to date, not something that we've done with anybody we've signed here.
Okay. If Andrus decides to do that, would you let us know? It's kind of an interesting, I don't know. It seems like kind of an interesting thing that maybe Maybe it's not relatively new.
We can make a note to check with Catherine. I know her group was going to follow up on it.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
Matt?
I don't think we've talked to you since you guys signed Jed Lowry back on the minor league deal. Just what did you see from him to think that maybe he can, you know, bring something into camp, and how does he change, affect, add to that potential mix at second base competition?
Well, first and foremost, I saw what he did for us in 2018. And that alone was enough to, you know, for us to hope that he can still impact our team. I mean, I'll let you guys talk to Jed when he gets to camp, but obviously he had a rough last couple of years, and dealing with a knee injury that we think is taken care of now. You know, we've looked at the surgery that he had. We've talked to Jed. I mean, one of the advantages we have in this situation is we know Jed really well. And I think our medical staff has done as good a job as anybody in Jed's career of keeping him on the field. I mean, you look at the numbers and the games he played here as compared to other places. I'm very proud of the way our medical staff kept him on the field. So, I mean, there's obviously concern for a guy who hadn't played in 2 years, and you know, we're sort of you take Jed at his word that he still has a lot to play for and really wants to go out and still improve that he's capable of impacting a team. So we'll get him work at second base. We obviously have a DH spot that that right now looks like it'll rotate amongst a number of guys. So that'll be a good place to get him off his feet and get ABs for him. But he'll work at second base the way he did. And again, we have sort of firsthand knowledge of what Jed can mean to a team. So we're excited about the opportunity.
Another quick bullpen question. When you look at just the potential of having to, or I guess, name a closer, do you guys, is it a preference? Is it a priority, something that you would want to do to designate one closer? Or is there potentially going to be a consideration to kind of mix and match the late innings, be a little bit more flexible there, maybe for the ninth with some of the guys that you have, rather than having one guy designated there?
Well, I know from experience that if I say a name here, you guys are all going to write headlines with it as our closer. So I'll hold off on that. Look, it's up to Bob and Emo. I mean, they're down there. They're making the decisions. We'll talk about it over the next 6 weeks and see where we land. But ultimately, I know the guys in the bullpen appreciate the way Bob runs things down there. And he'll, you know, it'll be a conversation we all have during spring training.
Vince?
David, it always seems at this time of the year that around baseball, they look at your club and they say it's going to be a challenge for them to be competitive, and you're competitive and you're playing October baseball. Given that you had to fight through tough decisions with 10 free agents and making those decisions, then putting your club together, if you have your two corner guys, one healthy and one with Matt Olson doing more of the Matt Olson things you've seen in the past, and other internal pieces that you've had, do you still see that, plus with an entire rotation coming back, as reason to believe that there shouldn't be any surprise that this should be a competitive club in 2021?
I don't think there should be any surprise. I mean, I've said all offseason how much I like the group that was here. And we have in the past 3 weeks finally had a chance to add to that group. So you know, the guys you mentioned, there's a group of position players who we have every reason to believe are going to continue to get better, and Murphy's and Olson's and Chapman's and Laureano's and Canna's, those guys should be better than they have been, and we return a very good rotation, and like I said, we've now added stability at shortstop and made improvements in the bullpen. So I hope it's not a surprise that we expect to compete and defend the division title.
Any last questions?
One quick one. Just how wide do you see the field maybe for playing time in left field? Just Grossman kind of had that nailed down for a lot of last year, but now do you see the potential for maybe using that spot with multiple guys, several guys, or are you hoping that there's maybe one that kind of rises to the top?
I think the outfield mix overall is going to have to play out over the course of the spring. Obviously, you know, returning Chad, Canna, Laureano, and Piscotty were very right-handed. You know, there are a lot of left-handed options here to make the team, you know, with Kai Tom, with Seth Brown. You know, Tony's played out in the outfield. He's going to get some time out there. And, you know, other guys in camp, everyone from Fowler to Bolt to Barrera, look, there are all these options. Cody Thomas is going to get a look here. So I think we know that there needs to be, you know, some left-handed option out there. But I don't know that we're going to sort of nail down who the left fielder is or what the left field platoon looks like or anything like that right now. But it's a good group to draw from.
All right. Thank you, David.
Okay. Nice to see you all.
Thanks, David.
Thank you very much, David. Thank you.